from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. Attorney General Javier Becerra will hold a news conference this morning to ask survivors of sexual abuse by La Luz del Mundo members to come forward. The leader of this fundamentalist Christian church based in Mexico was arraigned in Los Angeles Wednesday on charges including rape and human trafficking. The alleged crimes occurred in L.A. County, where the church has several locations. KPCC's Leslie Beristain Rojas has more.
Followers refer to church leader Nason Joaquin Garcia as the Apostle of Jesus Christ. I spoke with Nicolas Menchaca, the church's spokesman in Guadalajara. He said church members have been praying since Joaquin Garcia's arrest Monday at LAX. The church categorically rejects the false accusations against Joaquin Garcia, said Menchaca. He said the church leader has always behaved according to the law. The California Attorney General's office has charged Joaquin Garcia with 26 felony counts, including rape of a minor and producing child pornography. The complaint alleges that Joaquin Garcia told some of these minors that an apostle of God can never be judged for his actions. Also accused are three female church members. Two of them are in custody. For the California Report, I'm Leslie Beristain Rojas in Los Angeles.
The number of people caught illegally crossing the southwest U.S. border rose again in May to a 13-year high. The Border Patrol detained more people in every sector except for San Diego, where the numbers peaked in March. Apprehensions there are 72% higher than a year ago. About two-thirds of people crossing in May were families. 9% of detentions were of unaccompanied children. The Trump administration told authorities in Yolo County last week that it will no longer pay for education, recreation, and some legal aid for unaccompanied minors in the juvenile hall there. Now, the government is saying those restrictions will apply to all of the more than 13,000 migrant children in government-run shelters across the country. The reason? The administration says it needs more money to deal with what it calls the crisis at the southern border. We called immigration reporter Patrick Michaels at the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal to ask what's going on.
The regulations for the government say that you need to have Monday to Friday classes for the kids and then 2 to 3 hours of rec time, like structured time on top of that. Places, shelters can provide those things still if they want to, but the government is not going to be paying for them. Without those, it does sound like the kids would just be sitting around, basically. It's not only that there are a lot more kids coming across the border now than before, but it's that they're in these shelters for much longer than they have been. It used to be a couple weeks that they would spend there, and the government has slowed down to where they spend an average of 2 months, in these shelters before they're released to their families.
Lawyers associated with the Flores case, which regulates how migrant children are held in government custody, say they plan to challenge the directive and block it very promptly. In Los Angeles, supporters of Measure EE are still trying to understand why voters struck it down in dramatic fashion this week. The measure would have raised property taxes to help pay for promises the LA Unified School District made in January to end the teacher strike. Teachers were demanding more pay, plus smaller class sizes and more support staff. So why didn't it fly with voters? I put that question to John Fensterwald, a reporter for EdSource.
It was a long shot, perhaps, to go for a special election, which this was, and with such usually has a small turnout. I think they were counting on the glow from the strike, the teacher strike, and the support that it engendered, resulting in a larger turnout at the polls and people voting for a tax. And, maybe that's just a wrong connection to make. If one doesn't necessarily follow the other.
What do you think were lessons learned in L.A. that other parts of the state, other districts around the state may learn from what we just saw?
Could be a couple of lessons. Number one is I think the districts were hoping that if L.A. could pass a parcel tax, that then they could use that as a gauge that they could then go to the voters and get their own local taxes through the parcel tax. And I think that's probably a sobering reality that it's still going to be very hard to pass a parcel tax. Now, what happens in L.A. doesn't necessarily translate into all districts, but the other thing I think the implication is on the split roll tax. Now, the split roll is going on the ballot in November of 2020. That would change Proposition 13, and it would require assessing businesses and commercial properties more often, which would result in they would begin to pay more taxes than they have. I think one could look at the parcel tax in L.A. saying that's kind of a trial run, because the largest donor to Measure EE was the California Business Roundtable, gave about $350,000 to fight Measure EE, and it's going to be the leading opponent of the split roll tax in November 2020. And they're promising $100 million to fight the split roll, and it's all property taxes. Mm-hmm. So I think the message is, you know, L.A. should teach you a lesson, because we're going to be out there fighting en masse against this idea.
John Fensterwald, reporter at EdSource, thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Thanks for asking.
A new poll finds many Californians aren't impressed with the way that Governor Gavin Newsom is responding to the financial mess created by recent wildfires. From KQED's Politics and Government desk, Katie Orr reports.
The survey from the Public Policy Institute of California finds just 28% of likely voters approve of how Newsom is handling PG&E's bankruptcy and the utility's responsibility for devastating wildfires. 35% of likely voters disapprove of how Newsom is dealing with the situation, while 37% don't know. More than 80% of likely voters are either very or somewhat concerned about their electric bills going up because of utilities' responsibilities for wildfire-related costs. The legislature is looking into several options to mitigate the cost of utility-caused wildfires in the future. Among them, establishing a ratepayer-backed fund that could be dispersed to victims if a utility is responsible for starting a fire. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
In Silicon Valley, YouTube says it plans to remove thousands of videos containing hate speech, including neo-Nazism. KQED's Rachel Miro explains that the company says it's already taking down offensive videos, but that policing hate speech and pedophilia on the platform is a huge undertaking.
They're constantly playing a game of whack-a-mole. This is a huge service. 1 billion hours are watched daily on this platform. It's always a response when you're reacting to a video that somebody complains about, and oftentimes it does take a complaint or it takes press attention for YouTube to move on it. You know, the Post does go into some detail about how they're sort of tackling this on multiple fronts. One way to do it is to block or, you know, basically disable the account of a group that consistently posts things like hate speech. Another thing to do is to identify a group that may have done it once or twice and put algorithms in place to, for instance, block ads on those videos. So those are two measures that they say they'll be taking. But it's hard not to notice that just 2 days ago, a news story went viral about YouTube's algorithms exploiting children by recommending that pedophiles watch home videos of kids.
That was KQED's Rachel Miro. Let's go to Bakersfield now, where last night the city council voted to approve adding the motto "In God We Trust" to city-owned police and fire vehicles. KQED's Michelle Wiley has more.
The council has received nearly 200 emails on the subject in the last 2 weeks. Supporters say it honors the national motto and that it's a much-needed message that will benefit residents. But Jordan Wells with the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California says it sends the wrong message.
Basically a message that folks should defer to police officers, that like God, police officers are owed obedience and reverence and that they're not fallible. But of course, the exact opposite is true.
Wells says adding the motto to police vehicles could be exclusionary and may violate elements of the U.S. and California constitutions. However, the ACLU would not confirm if it plans to pursue legal action. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
And that is the California Report for this Thursday, June 6th. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at CalReportTweets. I'm at Lily Jamali. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.